Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bundesliga show brought to you by Over the Bar. Hope everyone's doing well this evening. We are back for match week 20 review. Myself and Mark checking in at slightly earlier time just because of the delights of our busy, busy schedules. Mark, how was your weekend? You were off in the fair state of Ireland, weren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a fantastic weekend. Yeah, but obviously it was one of those crazy early flights this morning, so I'm a little bit worse for wear right now. But yeah, enjoyed a lot of Guinness, a lot of pubs and stuff like that. Yeah, and obviously a little bit of Bundesliga as well. So.
Yeah, well, it's always you know, tricky one trying to find time when you have those sort of weekends. Yeah, I absolutely love Dublin. I was there this time last year, actually. So. Very, very jealous of the fact that you're over there. But I had a lovely time as well. I was away in York for a long weekend. So, yeah, really busy, too much drinking. I broke my dry January spell. I made it all the way. It was a tricky one to get through that. But, yeah, nevertheless, we're here to talk about Bundesliga footy, of course. So we'll be reviewing the action from the weekend and obviously trying to reflect back on what's happened and obviously look forward to some excellent match reviews. So before we get stuck into it all, of course, as per usual, if you can leave a thumbs up on the show, comment along, let us know your thoughts. We haven't regrettably done a Bundesliga Boxes Hero of the Week this week, so if we can think of any as we go along, we can certainly try and do some nominations. But if you have any heroes of the week, put them in the comments or in the comment section, and you know, we'll pick those up. And of course, subscribe to the channel. Please be kind as well and leave a rating and review on podcasts if you are absorbing this in an audio format as well. So we'll get stuck straight into the footy. And match four, as a part of our countdown, it's going to be the entertaining match between Wolfsburg and on Hoffenheim, which ended in a 2-2 draw. Two teams that are pretty hard to get a read on at the moment. Really hard to know what's coming from week to week from both of them, to be honest, Mark, which is probably why it pitched up to be a really entertaining game and a draw in the end. First half-wise, the game was, again, fairly even. Bayer just, showing what a bright spark he is, though, in the early moments, going down the left-hand side. Really great control and smashing home low to make it 1-0, and it would stay that way, until half-time. Then Wolfsburg made some changes, so Kovac rung a few substitutions, and one of them was exceptionally profitable as Meyer got the first of two of his goals. This one being a nice little move, which was set up by Wolfsburg's new man, Kevin Behrens, of course. He teed up the effort to make it 1-1. But just as you think that Wolfsburg might have pushed on, Mark, similar frailties and just silly kind of playing out from the back led to Prommel getting Hoffenheim ahead again, and then some rather comical defending by Nsoki led to a penalty for Meyer, which he dispatched. What did you make of this one? Obviously, I'm presuming you've only caught the highlights recently as well as me because of our busy weekends. But yeah, it was a hard one to nail down this, but probably a draw is a fair one, even though it was very entertaining in the end.
Yeah, I think it was a game of one really good goal from each team and then one kind of comical goal, really, in many ways. I think the opener was real great play from Bayer, who seems to have found his feet again after a little bit of a bad ending to the Hinrunde. But, you know, he's got back to goals in, two goals in his last three now, including that game against Freiburg a couple of weeks ago. He took it really well, I found. You know, He's a player with great kind of potential. Potentially could even get into the German setup as well for the Euro 2024. I still believe it's not completely impossible with the, you know, the kind of bad form of a lot of German strikers, including the likes of Timo Werner, Havertz and the like. I don't think it's impossible he could be on that plane. Staying in Germany, won't he? But yeah, that was great play from him. The equaliser was a beautiful goal, by the way. I've got to say, Behrens was fantastic. I thought he was really good in the game. And I was a little bit sad to see him transfer to Wolfsburg, actually, because he's a kind of player of the old school, you know, Union Berlin, Zweite Bundesliga. And this is like his first kind of fashionable club, really, that he's ever played for, you know. And it does seem a little bit weird to see a man go from, like, super traditional clubs like Union Berlin to company clubs like VfL Wolfsburg. So that was funny to kind of get used to that. But his assist was really nice with back to goal. You know, he plays it in for Meyer, who did really well off the bench as well. You know, we've not really seen that much from the 25 million euro man. He did actually sign for 25 million too, incredibly, in the summer, which a lot of people forget. He was one of the big signings of the summer, but we've not seen very much of the Croatian at all so far this season. But you know, his cameo impact was superb in this particular match. The second Hoffenheim goal was really scrappy. It should have been prevented. And it was actually Castile's mistake, really, an extremely poor play out of the back from him. He was actually linked with Nottingham Forest. You know, I think they knocked back a very late bid from Forest to take him over to the Premier League. But it's good that we've still got him over here in Germany, at least for now. I mean, Forest, I would imagine Forest he'll probably look at the league as well. The what, sorry?
Forest just love any Bundesliga player who's in form for about 5 minutes, and then they'll try and put a bid in for them.
Yeah, you're right, pretty much, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was an interesting match. You know, I felt as though Czerny continued his good recent form. Paredes is, you know, providing a few bright sparks for Wolfsburg at the minute. The thing with Wolfsburg, they're just a frighteningly inconsistent team, aren't they? I mean, at times they look really good, but at other times you just think, what are they doing, really? But it's still, as crazy as it seems, after 20 games this season, I still don't know where their season's going to go this year, really, because like they've been so inconsistent. And at times in that second half, you think these look a real team, you know, but then at other times they look poor and lackluster, you know, so it is hard to tell. I think the similar kind of situation for Hoffenheim too, because, you know, they played well in the game. I think both teams played pretty well in this game, in truth. But it's just the fine-tuning. They've not got the kind of, you know, diligence to go on and win these kind of games. That's the issue, you know. And both managers, you know, Kovac and Pellegrino Matarazzo, are not in the best of favour with fans at the minute, I wouldn't say. But as I say, that's the way I kind of conclude this game. After 20 games, I really don't know where either of these teams are going to go. Whether they're going to go down towards the bottom half or whether they can push for European football next season, you know. I mean, Hoffenheim are 8th on 26 points and Wolfsburg just a few points behind in 11th on 23 points. But the performances are so up and down within the match as well that it's just really hard to kind of analyse these two teams right now. But as for the game, it was entertaining and I enjoyed it anyway.
Yeah, it is hard to put a finger on where either of these two teams are. And it definitely presents further opportunity for the likes of Heidenheim and Werder and even Augsburg to push above them, really, because, you know, they're showing consistent levels of performance and, you know, a bit more clarity on the way they're playing. You know, Hoffenheim's form has completely dropped off a cliff. Obviously, Wolfsburg have drawn their first four matches of 2024. So naturally, that's not helped them in that sense at all. So it really opens things up. As you say, hard to understand where either of these two teams are right now. No great confidence that either will push on. But you could equally, you know, see the talent in both squads could easily push them up if they just get a little bit more clarity and consistency. One funny statistic that, you know, I came across or figured out myself, so this could be wrong, but I don't think Wolfsburg has scored more than two goals in a game in the Bundesliga all season, which obviously when you think about how, you know, Wind has been really effective for them and they have the talent going forward, this is quite statistic for me. So hence why they probably don't haven't won enough games, because they haven't been able to kill off the, you know, their opponents and end up have been drawing quite a lot of games recently. So that's obviously an interesting one for me. Evening to Moritz and Ballum tuning in. Moritz will definitely come to your boys, Colne, in a short while. So hopefully you look forward to that and enjoy that chat with us. And Ballum will try and answer some of your questions as well in regards to, the next match vlog that's coming out soon as well. And some, tasty Pokal games to come midweek as well, which we'll definitely get to, but we'll just turn our attention to the next game of our featured four, and then we'll maybe do some questions to break up the show, and some predictions we'll do at some point. Bayern 3, Gladbach 1. The Gladbach hoodoo, at least this season mark is over, or has certainly not come to pass. Bayern doing the double over them, amazingly, which seems an odd thing. First time that they've won both home and away over Gladbach since 2018-19. So, you know, the hoodoo has been lasting for quite a while. Bayern good for their win, do you think, Mark? Obviously, you can maybe talk us through this one in terms of how the game went, but another impressive outing for Pavlovic and co.
Yeah, I mean, this was another interesting match in many ways. You know, I felt as though Bayern started really well. I think Thomas Müller was superb in the game, by the way. I think he was probably man of the match for me in this one. He was dangerous early on in a rare start. You know, Sané probably should have had two goals in the first 20 minutes or so. Yeah. He's, you know, not quite finding the finishing touch at the minute, is he? Which is a little bit worrying for Bayern. But yeah, I did like the midfield of Goretzka and Pavlovic as well. Pavlovic is looking like one hell of a player, by the way, really. I mean, talking about him getting called up for Germany as well now, another one that could get in the squad ahead of the Euros, you know. They're looking quite good through the midfield without Kimmich, by the way. I mean, I've been saying the whole season that I've just not been impressed with him at all. And I think the last, you know, two performances really have kind of justified that. You know, they've scored six goals in those two when he's been missing. Last time he played, obviously, they got humbled at home to Werder, didn't they? So, I mean, that kind of sums up his season in many ways. I mean, as for Gladbach, I mean, again, early on, Neuhaus had that chance, didn't he, which was really unlucky to go wide. And then, obviously, it was actually a Neuer mistake, really. And again, a poor play out of the back, which ended up being well intercepted by Elvedi. I mean, what was he doing so far for? But, you know, good player with hit between him and Player ended up, him and Jordan, resulting in a real good finish into the back of the net from the centre half. So respect to him. You know, you were starting to think at that point, are we going to see this hoodoo strike again? Surely not. But I actually tipped a draw in this game because I just felt as though the hoodoo would strike again in this one. But Bayern Munich, it was a bit more like the old Bayern, that they found the leveler very soon, didn't they? And this was the goal of the match, really, the equaliser for Bayern Munich. It was great play from Müller, who played in Pavlovic well on the far side, who finished really, really well into the back of the net just before half-time too. So, you know, if they had gone in at 1-0 down, who knows what could have happened in this game. And then I actually thought Bayern started quite poorly at the beginning of the second half. You were thinking, you know, come and give us a bit more, go and get the goal. And it was actually, unfortunately, an error from goalkeeper Nicolas, who was so good last week. But he gave an absolute, he dropped a clanger, let's be honest there, right on the head of Harry Kane, who probably scored one of the easiest and scrappiest goals of his 25 so far this season. But yeah, I mean, that was disappointing in some ways, also for the title race, because, you know, it was getting again to that point. Bayern Munich at home recently just haven't been that convincing at times. And, you know, once again, it got to 70, 72 minutes before they were able to get that decisive goal, which has been happening too many times by their standards this season. And in this case, it was an error from the young keeper, who has been improving recently, by the way, Nicolas. I think last week he was ridiculously good, really. But obviously it was an error here that gave ultimately the winning goal. Then obviously just a free kick comes in late on, a De Ligt, you know, out of favour De Ligt, really, who's been able to get back in the team as a result of Kim's participation in the Asia Cup. with a classic header, and he does like a goal from centre half, doesn't he, De Ligt? But yeah, I don't think it was a great Bayern performance at all, but it's another win. It keeps them 2 points adrift of Leverkusen, obviously one also very standard win in Darmstadt as well after that double from Nathan Teller. Yeah, but I think Gladbach, yeah, well, what can you say about them, really? I mean, they're another team. It has been a bizarre season in some ways that some teams, even after 20 games, you don't really know where they stand right now because they're just so inconsistent within matches and also from game to game, aren't they? I mean, they were so good against Stuttgart that opening game, you know, the Rückrunde. And then they go on and lose the next game against Augsburg at home, and they were pretty poor in that game, in truth. And then they go and get that great point at Leverkusen, back to the wall kind of performance. And then, I wouldn't say they were poor in this game, but, you know, they could have offered a bit more going forward, potentially. But yeah, where do you stand with Gladbach? I mean, they're currently 13th, which is pretty woeful, actually, for a Gladbach side. And a team that have shown quality at times this season, but... I mean, what would you say, Rory? I mean, where do you stand on Gladbach? Because it's just like the 13th, which is not good enough for Gladbach. But at times, you think performance-wise, they look a good side, but they don't back up results, do they? So,
yeah, well, I think Gladbach were one of your picks to pick up a lot in this Rückrunde, yeah, weren't they? But they're proving to be very Gladbach-like still for now. Yeah, you worry for them when they can't even draw or beat Bayern. Obviously, joking in that sense. Yeah, the fullback struggled in this one, as you know, it's quite easy to be the case when you're playing, you know, Bayern. What was it? Scali and Netz, I didn't think, had their best outings compared to the way that they played, you know, against Leverkusen in that sense. I think Bayern, yeah, just had that extra bit of clinicality and punch to them. Which, you know, I think Bayern played it pretty well and they would have been frustrated there. It took them so long to get ahead in the match. Obviously, they weren't expecting to be 1-0 down either, in a, you know, what was a little bit of a poor bit of play for them. Gladbach-wise, yeah, I mean, you can't always assume that you're going to get points against Bayern. So if you... Funny four games, I guess, for them, like you say. You know, great against Stuttgart. Almost able to build on it against Augsburg because they took the lead, didn't they, yeah, in that one. But they weren't able to see that one through, so that was poor. But, you know, Augsburg are one of the best teams that are coming back from deficits at the moment. They have been massively improved. Then you have Leverkusen, who you draw with. So, on paper, those four games have been really hard for them. The fact that they've taken 4 points obviously doesn't sound like much, but... It's kind of about right for them, obviously, based on where they are in the league. So, yeah, for Gladbach, tricky for them. If they get a nicer run of fixtures, which I presume they're entitled to relatively soon, then they might be able to go on a bit more of a more consistent run. But, yeah, it's the word that we use time in, time out with them. It's the reason why they're on featured four a lot, because they concede so many, but they score loads of goals. They're the perennial entertainers, but it doesn't make great reading for their league position. Yeah, for Bayern, like you say, I've probably been one of the few that haven't been jumping on to like the "we want Kimmich out" bandwagon as much. But I know you and Peter have been saying that, how, you know, he hasn't been playing very well this season. And that's hard to disagree with when you see the impact of Pavlovic, you know, partnered by anyone really in that midfield. Goretzka has obviously done well next to him. So, yeah, it's really intriguing to see if slash when Kimmich does come back into the side, where he comes back into the side as well. Do they just play him a right back, like we've said? And you know, now that obviously they've made the signing, of course, the new right back, Sacha Bowie, you know, does he now come in and start at right back? You know, when you've got Mazraoui and Lima, who have been playing there throughout the season, that makes it interesting. They obviously went hard on this Brian Zagarossa, who I can't profess to know too much about, but they looked like they were going to get him in the summer, but because of the Kingsley Coman injury, they went out and got him straight away. So as a direct replacement, I believe, obviously pending all the injuries that are happening for Bayern. So quite interesting to see a pretty different Bayern side maybe in this Rook Ronde with different players playing in those important roles. One thing that you can just guarantee and is inevitable is Harry Kane scoring goals, and that is what will get them over the line in a lot of games. You know, great that we're seeing English players having such a big role in the title race as well. Nathan Teller and Harry Kane, Dier clearing a shot off the line as well. So, yeah, the English boys are settling in well, which is brilliant for us to see. We'll just come on to a couple of the comments or questions in the chat. Then we'll move on to our last two games and then finish off with some Pokal predictions. I've roughly got into about 7:40 before I have to pelt it down the road to my five-a-side football. So apologies for everyone if we have to abruptly finish. Comment from Moritz, one of our regulars. Big 3 points for Köln, first time in 2024. Still doesn't really change the situation for a relegation battle, but is good nonetheless. So, yeah, absolutely great for Köln, and we'll come on to them shortly. We've also got the Mainz Union catch-up match as well, of course, Mark, midweek. So that's going to be really interesting. So Balan will come to that when we do the predictions of the Pokal as well. The match day vlog, Balan, will be coming out in the next few days. We'll let you know. We'll do promotion and on social media for that. And also make sure that you check out the Augsburg Bayern one. That's still on our YouTube channel as well. And it's the pinned tweet, so you can't miss it. And then a comment from Moritz. Nathan Teller's standout player this week, potential hero that we have. Certainly a good option for the future for Leverkusen. Has a chance to get even more game time. Yeah, he's been really, really well since coming in for Frimpong when he got that first initial knock. So, yeah, some really nice comments there from Moritz and Balan. Thank you very much. If you have any others, please do not feel shy to share your thoughts. Right then, Mark, we'll crack on with the rest of our featured four, and we'll move on to the second from last game, which was Freiburg hosting Stuttgart, who are now really starting to find their feet again. Well, certainly from a results point of view, in the Rook Ronde, as they ran out 3-1 winners in this one. I guess we have to say that, well, the first 20 minutes basically decided this one, in a sense, Mark, because obviously the away side, Stuttgart, were now into a really quick lead. Undav being played through pretty much the heart of Freiburg's defence, which is poor from their side, but a great finish. He is absolutely on fire at the moment, that young man. Another potential bolter for the Germany squad. Furyk, again, who should be very heavily involved in the Germany squad. Great dribbling ability to get the ball forwards. Nice little 1-2 with Undav to unleash a really cool finish for 2-0. And then obviously the red card happened as well, Mark, for Freiburg. It was a nasty one, a bit out of control. Were you satisfied with that being given as a red card?
Yeah, I thought it looked worse than it was, because he kind of slipped, in my opinion, as well. So it looked like he followed through, but it was definitely a red card. It actually looked like a really bad tackle, I thought, on the replay. It was one of those that I think the replay made it look like a leg breaker type one, to be honest. But I think he slipped, in my view. I think it was a bad tackle initially, but then he kind of followed through as well. So Mittelstädt was really lucky. Obviously, he went on to score the third goal as well, ironically. But at the time, it looked like, oh, God, he's going to get injured on the back of that, because he went down very heavy and stuff. And it was definitely a red card. That was a no-brainer of a red card. But obviously, he's a young man, Rule. He's a man who's had a brilliant breakout season so far, probably one of the big breakouts of the last, of the season, really. But this was not a good moment for him, you know, and he deserved the red card. I would imagine he'll get a three-match ban on the back of that too, because it was dangerous, it was reckless, and he deserved the red card. But I think Freiburg deserve credit for the way they came back after that, because they could have lost 5-0. It's the kind of game. Well, they did lose 5-0 in Stuttgart earlier in the season, but when you were watching that, you were thinking, my God, they're just getting killed. you know, completely killed. Like, they were down to 10 men. Stuttgart really hit it in that first half an hour, really. They were absolutely ridiculous, really. Like, as you say, Undab is a confidence player, and on the back of that hat-trick, he looked like he could get another hat-trick in this game as well, to be honest. But he got the important one, you know, the key goal. I thought Wagnermann was dangerous in this game too. He missed a few chances. And it just seems that everything that Sebastian Hoeneß is doing is working at the minute, really. I just think, like, obviously, Ruhl came back in after. He's another one that's been kind of in and out of the team this year. But he's been hit and miss a bit, but he was good in the game. You know, even Stegu got a start in this one. He's not, you know, he's been very much a kind of bit part player. You know, obviously, we got the news that Zagadou was injured for the season earlier in the week, which it was a blow, but you didn't really see that. Okay, they conceded a goal off a corner, which is normally the kind of thing that Zagadou is strong on. But, yeah. I mean, still, I felt as though it was a very strong performance from, I'm not going to say, well, it was definitely a makeshift defence. You know, two of those players wouldn't normally start in that position. You know, they're going to have Gourassi back for the next game as well. Obviously, he's out of the AFCON, potentially even to unleash him against Leverkusen in the Cup as well, which would be interesting. But the trouble is with them, I mean, Undav is just so good that you don't even need Gourassi at the minute. That's the problem. It's like, he's going to have to change the formation to fit Gourassi back in. So, I mean, I'm not even sure whether it's that good of a dilemma, incredibly, because, I mean, the last two performances have been really high quality from Stuttgart, really. You know, 8 goals against Leipzig and Freiburg. It's just doesn't get any better than that, basically. You know, two of the teams that have been known as being two of the best defensive teams in the league for the last 3-4 years, really, and you put 8 past them in 2 games. So things are really hotting up for the team. And you're looking at that table at the minute for Stuttgart, and you don't see how they can't get Champions League at the minute. Because the thing is, they've come through a lot of hard games recently too. In the back end of the Rückrunde, they played Dortmund, they played Leverkusen, they played Bayern, then they played Gladbach, then they played, you know, Leipzig and Freiburg away from home. And Freiburg don't lose many at the Europa Park Stadion at all. And it's just, you're looking at that now, and they're another team that have earned the right now to have a nicer fixture list. Just a quick glance at the fixture list, and they've got, yes, you know, Mainz next week, then Darmstadt. Then you're looking at, the likes of Köln. I mean, the next three, they're playing the bottom three the next 3 games. I mean, 9 points from them, or even 7, and they're going to be in a very strong position, basically. And you're looking at that, and even after that, they've got Wolfsburg, Union, Hoffenheim. Those kind of teams won't give Stuttgart nightmares at the minute, for sure. And I would say over the next 6 games, they could even, I'm not going to say have the Champions League place sealed, but they could easily have like a 7-8 point gap going into the kind of last 7-8 games of the season. So it's looking very, very good at the minute. We know that they finish with some hard fixtures as well. You know, they've got the likes of Bayern and Leverkusen in the running, and also Dortmund away. So that could be a problem. But they've got to just keep going, just enjoy what they're doing. They've got the Pokal game. But I still feel as though the Champions League will be the kind of main objective here, because you can't expect to turn this Leverkusen team away from home. But if they do that, they'll be favourites for the Cup as well. So you just got to keep enjoying it, because, you know, the football is just scintillating. There's barely been a bad player in the entire squad this season, and it's just been great to watch. It's not only the results. It's not like you're grinding out 1-0 Sam Allardyce-type wins. The football's just been brilliant. The goals, the entertainment, the atmosphere. It's just been a kind of dream season for Stuttgart. So I'm sure you agree, Rory, really.
Yeah, it's starting to really catch fire, isn't it? And you know, awareness across Europe is really spreading about this German team, obviously, who people will know because, you know, Stuttgart being such a historic, famous German side, but probably won't know the recent history of how much, obviously, you know, Stuttgart had struggled. But yeah, the season has been an absolute joy to watch and see unfold, and long may it continue with 20 games in, but there's still a long way to go. But as you say, yeah, fixture wise, the next 3 to 5 games look pretty presentable. You know, take away the Pokal focus just for a minute. Players that have come in, like you say, Mark, have done a really good job. Yeah, naturally, I think we will miss Zagadou from an aerial presence point of view. I think because Freiburg are really strong at that as well, it was noticeable, but, you know, yeah, as you say, Ruo and Stergiou did a really good job. I think, was it Stergiou who had a header cleared off the line at 3-1, I think, with 5 minutes to go, roughly speaking. So, again, showing good positional awareness. If that goes in, you've got a bit of a, you know, a tetchy finish to the match. And, you know, Mittelstädt, you know, come in as a cheap alternate at the start of the season and now looks irreplaceable, even though you'll have Hiroki Ito coming back into the team, or the squad at some point at least, after the Asian Cup. And as you say, you've got Girassi coming back, you have Woo Jong-yong coming back eventually as well. You know, it, the fact that they have kind of survived this spell, you know, of missing some of their, you know, big players, and the fact that they've taken 6 out of 12 points, but those 6 points have come against Leipzig and Freiburg rather than, you know, the first two fixtures, which obviously Gladbach and Bochum, you just assume that, oh, well, yeah, they won those first two, but maybe struggled against the latter, but it's completely the opposite way around. And the performances have still been of real high quality. But yeah, Freiburg, Mark, I mean, you know, the match was fairly ill-tempered, wasn't it? Obviously, with, you know, the red card, quite a lot of bookings, quite a lot of little scraps in the pitch. But I think Freiburg, from a consistent point of view, have been a lot higher up performance-wise than your likes of Hoffenheim and Wolfsburg and the like. So I think, regardless of this match, I'm sure they'll recover and be up with the likes of, you know, Frankfurt for those European spots, but just a day to forget for them with the red card ensuing as well.
Yeah, it's been a funny season in some ways for Freiburg, because it's not been a lot of people are talking as though they've dropped off a lot, but they're still seventh in the league at the end of the day, and that will give them a Conference League spot. Yeah. And European football, like 5 years ago, was seen as a distant dream for Freiburg, you know what I mean? And obviously they've had two back-to-back years of it, not only European football, but obviously Europa League group stage as well, and knockouts too. And they've been close to Champions League in both of those seasons. They've made DFB Pokal finals during that time. It's been a dream previous two seasons for them. This season hasn't quite been dream level, but it's not been bad by any means. And, you know, I think it's just defensively they've dropped off a little bit for me. They have had a few injuries, and I think maybe the fact they're playing Sildelia and Makengo is maybe a little bit too attacking at times. I think the fact that obviously Gunter came back in this game, by the way, he made his return, that's going to be a big, massive boost to them, because they've lost that defensive stability a little bit. That's the problem. And, you know, in the past, they would never have conceded three at home. It just was unthinkable, you know. And I just feel as though this season, if you look at the numbers as well, they've conceded 34, which is the most in the top half. I think that says everything, really. And that's not typical of Freiburg at all. And they've not been poor. The fight's still there. You know, there's a lot of positives to say about them. And they've obviously had Ruhl as the breakout star too, which is massive for them. But it's not been a vintage season. But at the end of the day, if they get top seven, it's still a very good season for them. And at the minute, I would say that they're still a step above the likes of Hoffenheim. Werder are the ones that are coming at the minute, though. Werder Bremen are extremely impressive at the minute. They've got a mixture of tenacity and quality at the minute. They're the team that incredibly you're looking at and thinking maybe they could even get the seventh spot. So that's going to be interesting to see, obviously, those kind of Europa League and Europa Conference League places by the end of the season.
Yeah, no doubt. There's some good young players coming through at Freiburg, so I think there's a decent enough mix. Based on what Strike's kind of very early doom and gloom predictions were for the season, you know, maybe just kind of levelling off fan expectation, but, you know, they're sitting quite rightly in seventh place, so doing quite well anyhow. Right then, our final game of the countdown, we're going to be paying tribute to a very rare but a very welcome win for the Billy Goats, who hosted Frankfurt on Saturday evening and came out 2-0 winners. Mark, an even first half, of which there was only one real kind of outstanding chance for Thielmann, I think it was, who obviously was played through on goal, narrow angle, shot just wide of the far post. I think maybe Trapp got a little hand to it. But yeah, you know, pretty even, not many chances in the first half. Second half is where we got a fair amount of drama or a fair amount of points to discuss. Well, no more so than the spell that led to the first goal. We saw a very clumsy and poor second yellow card from Gumu, who has been obviously you know, one of the players that we've been keeping a good eye on. He's been doing really well going forwards for Frankfurt. But on a yellow card, he gets done down the line and literally rugby tackles the player to the floor to get a second yellow card. And from the following free kick, a bit of a melee of kind of chances, and it leads to, on loan from Frankfurt, Ali Du to get the crucial goal and get Köln ahead, to which he didn't celebrate. So fair play to him. But I'm sure there was a lot of celebrating around him. And then, yeah, they obviously got themselves, they got themselves in front mark, and, you know, it's a really important phase for them to survive. But then, obviously, Jan Thielmann came to the fore as well after a poor bit of play by the Frankfurt defenders. I think it was Smolasic who gave away possession inside the Frankfurt half. And Köln, you know, broke really well and really quickly and set up that final goal. And it was a great finish as well to make it 2-0 and kill the game. Frankfurt still had time to get another man sent off. Was it Tuter or Buter?
Tuter off, yeah.
Buter, yeah, sorry. Well, getting them confused. Late on as well for another two booking offence. So let's start off with the home side, Mark. Obviously, huge win for them. Obviously, from an aspect of relegation, it keeps them in that relegation playoff spot. However, they're now 2 points off of Union Berlin, albeit Union have that game in hand. But it just makes it feel a bit more in touching distance for the home side and for the Billy Goat. So, who impressed you in this one? Or was it just a case of catching Frankfurt short and making the most of a couple of silly individual player errors?
No, I think they played well, really. Yeah, I think this was more like a throwback kind of performance from Köln, you know, under the lights in the top Spieler on Saturday evening. And I felt as though they were very good, really. I think Thielmann has not really kind of done himself justice before this game as a number nine, probably because it's not his natural position. He doesn't really have the kind of physical prowess to lead the line. But in this game, he was really good. And as you say, it was a very good save from Trapp early on, actually. It was a save, that one. And he did well to hold his nerve. And then the finish was superb for the second goal. Ali Du, yeah, I see that Moritz has already mentioned him. I thought he was superb, really. I really enjoyed his performance. He was, you know, obviously the man, the Frankfurt man as well, you know, he didn't celebrate after scoring. But I think that's a bit sad, really, in some ways, because he's never really been given a chance there at Frankfurt. And if I were him, I would have celebrated there. But hey, respect him for not doing. But yeah, the performance in general, another man I want to mention is Lubicic. I enjoyed his performance. I think he's a man that's completely gone off the radar, because I don't know if you remember, Rory, but back in the days of, you know, the heydays of Steffen Baumgart, he was a key player, actually, Lubicic. I used to really rate him, especially in the season when they qualified for the Conference League. But he's dropped right off the face of the earth, really, the last probably year, really. You know, he had a really poor 2023, although he did have a few injuries as well, but still, he was good. Martel, I felt, was good as well. And as I've said before, I do like the kind of centre-half partnership between Chabot and Hubers. I think, you know, despite being relatively limited, they've had good seasons, both of them, in my view. And Schwaber also. But respect to them. If Cologne want to stay up this season, that's what they need to do, basically. They need to repeat this kind of performance in just about every home game between now and the end, because we know that they've not got that much quality in the side. They're not going to win games through individual brilliance, you know, on a regular basis. But this was a performance that made you think, you know, maybe they could do the miracle. You know, I think Peter's already written them off. He said a few weeks ago, we might as well consider them down. But if you look at that table right now, it's not looking that bad for them, incredibly. Especially considering what it could have been by this stage. But obviously, they're on 15 points, actually 4 points clear of the bottom two. So I actually think if you gave them the comfort, if you gave them the relegation playoff spot, they would actually take that right now. I really do believe that. I think, that wouldn't be that bad for them. But obviously, you know, they're only 2 points behind Union Berlin as well. So, you know, obviously Mainz play that Union in that massive six-pointer as well this Wednesday. So that's going to be worth taking note. But you know that it's been a very good 2 weeks for Cologne. They were bottom 2 weeks ago, and now they're third from bottom and 4 points clear of the automatic relegation places. So let's give them credit. This was probably their best performance of the season. I don't know if Moritz agrees or disagrees, but I would give them this was their best performance of the season, in my view. I think they played really well in general, defended solid. Okay, Koch did miss a big chance as well in the first half from that header.
Yeah.
He probably should have put that away, but in general, it was a great performance and they deserve a lot of credit for it. As you mentioned, I do think that the new manager, Schultz, has made a change as well. He's improved them in the four games I've seen. Obviously, we don't want to criticise Baumgart on the show because he's like a cult hero on Over the Bar show, but it did seem as though he kind of got a little bit stale by the end. He just didn't know how to get the best out of what was a pretty underwhelming roster, really, in truth. You know, and maybe it was time for a change, and I think there has been improvement, really, especially in the last 2 weeks. And well, they've actually taken 5 points from the four games since they came back from the break. So, you know, performances have been improved. So we'll have to see. You know, I mean, they probably still will be down there. I don't think they're going to start climbing up the table like really fast, but promising signs for Cologne.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the likes of Lubcic and Thielmann come into the fore in this game. Obviously, really important to note because they are, those two are Bundesliga level players because they've proven it before and they're able to do that. I think the likes of, without pouring, you know, too much hate or you know, stick onto the likes of Stefan Tigges, you know, Linton Minor or a couple of those other players. They're not Bundesliga level players, but Lubicic is, you know, Thielmann is, you know, Mark Oot is a player who's done well in recent seasons. And David Selke, regardless of what we say about him, he will come back into the team because he is a striker and he holds up that ball and he will get onto those sort of kind of crosses. So, yeah, obviously interesting stuff for Köln and hopefully their recovery can continue. For Frankfurt, just very briefly, probably Mark's just still trying to get themselves together from a really busy January. Feel like Todd Moller's got a lot of work to do to figure out what his best 11 is going to be. Obviously, with players now coming back from the international tournaments. You know, for example, Skihiri came back in to face his old club, of course. And, you know, he'll settle into the team again. Chaibi, of course. Some of the new signings are going to have to bed in well, though. So, for example, a lovable favourite of mine, obviously, Donny van de Beek, on the bench, didn't get a game. And he's not been included in their Europa League squad. He's been excluded from it. So, you know, that's quite a curious one. You know, obviously a bit of an underwhelming start to his loan spell. And, that's quite interesting. So, Frankfurt, I think we can judge more, well, for the next 14 games. We'll be able to judge them at the end of the season, ultimately, because they would have had a full season to bed these players in. But there is a lot of kind of new players there. So obviously the PSG loan striker should do well, I think, as well. We'll see. We'll see how things go for Frankfurt, but they'll be well up there, no doubt, in the European spots come season's end. It gives us just a few minutes to whistle through some predictions. So we'll start off with the big six-pointer. Obviously, which is midweek, which is on Wednesday, as you said, Mark. So Mine's at home to Union Berlin. Christ, this is a tricky one to call, isn't it? Just because I want to mix things up in terms of the relegation race, a Mainz win would be most interesting. I'll go 2-1 Mainz, but with little confidence.
Yeah, I can't back Mainz again because I've backed them, I think, the last 2 weeks actually to get results. And I'm about that close away to just giving up on Mainz, really. Like, I just feel as though the writing's on the wall in a way. And I think this game, if they don't win this game, I really think they're going to go down. And it's very sad because I like Mainz. I really like Mainz actually as a club. And the season just hasn't got going. Like, nobody really knows why, because they're not a terrible football team, but they just don't score goals. They just simply do not score goals. Like, their XG, they should be like mid-table on XG, but that's the problem, basically. They just don't score goals, pure and simple. Yep. And it's almost like a meme now, isn't it? Because they just cannot score to save their life. So, as a result, I think Mainz will have the chances, but I think Union will get a 1-0 away win.
Okay, Union 1-0 away. And then, two DFB Pokal quarterfinals. Leverkusen, Stuttgart. I'll let you do this one first.
Yeah, there should be goals in this one, in truth. I mean, it's probably the best, the most aesthetic teams in the Bundesliga, the two that you really want to watch. You know, we enjoyed the first game between these two. There should have been way more goals than there were. Like, it finished 1-0, but it could easily have been like a 3-2 to Stuttgart or something. So, yeah. I'm going to go for a 3-2 to Leverkusen, though. Yeah, I just feel as though the home side, you know, just continue winning, basically.
Very good. I will say 2-2 full-time, VfB on penalties. Wow. Just because I can't confidently say that we're going to win in normal time. Wednesday, really looks like an interesting match, obviously, between Saarbrücken and Gladbach. Saarbrücken have already done plenty in this Pokal, obviously knocking out Bayern. And who else did they knock out? Was it Frankfurt that they knocked out as well?
Yeah, Bayern and Frankfurt, yeah. So two top six sides, yeah.
Crazy. Is it one too many for them? Maybe just, I'll say 2-1 Gladbach.
You know, another team that I've been tipping up too much this season and have just kept letting me down. So I'm actually going to go for a 2-1 to the home side, really. I watched the highlights of the games when they played, and they do look aside. I mean, the atmosphere there looks amazing, absolutely amazing. And I think Gladbach, it's just one of those seasons for them where you think, what could have been? And I've got a feeling it might be another case of that this weekend. And I'm going to go for the 2-1 with what will be the craziest lineup ever, I think, in Bundesliga, in the Pokal history, with potentially only one Bundesliga team in the last four.
Yeah, it would make for a really interesting semi-final, wouldn't it? Smashing stuff, perfect timing, so I can grab myself a water before running down to footy. So thank you to everyone who's tuned in tonight and watched the show. Really enjoyable to reflect the weekend's action. I'll just quickly throw over to yourself, Mark, to close up the show.
Yeah, so if you enjoyed what you've seen, check out our Twitter, at Over the Bar FB and at Over the Bar Extra. Don't forget to follow Rory too. Yeah, don't forget that we are not only a YouTube channel, we also have podcasts as well, so check us out on there. And don't forget to like, comment and subscribe on our work. So yeah, we've got a lot coming for you over the next few days. The vlog will be formatted within the next 48 hours, I would say. So look forward to that. Greuther Fürth versus Holstein Kiel. And then potentially some watch-alongs as well coming within the next week or two. So yeah, thanks a lot, guys. And we'll see you again for the predictions on Thursday. Bye-bye, guys.
Result.